Seminar, Agelessness, Lecture Number 11. My universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. My universe is the expression of the confusion of chaos. Now, that is a mouthful, isn't it? So, my universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. Chaos is defined as undifferentiated matter. The illusion of confusion is ever present. Confusion is matter in disarray. Confusion is the ultimate of order. Chance is supreme. Interesting. My universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. Now, what in the world, what in the wide, wide world does that have to do with agelessness? My universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. Well, agelessness is the experience of perfect order, perfect balance, perfect oneness. Confusion is the expression of unbalance, disorder, disarray. Now, we say here chaos is confusion, we say confusion is matter in disarray. Chaos is ultimate of order. So, when we live in a world of confusion, we live in a world of age. We live in a world of oldness. We live in a world of expressing something that's less than our highest good. We live in a world we live in a world of constant remission, constant going backwards, constant deletion of our purity and our wholeness. Age is the movement of a constant reversal of our wholeness and our purity. Now, that's a pretty heavy statement. But think of it this way. And I'm doing this a lot with you these last days because I want to drive you mad if I can. And I'm not having too much success, but I'm still wanting to drive you mad if I can. What is going backwards? Dorothea, what is going backwards?
I suppose thinking of the past.
Exactly. Thinking of the past. Thinking of the past is that which ages us the fastest. Because we're not living in the now, for one thing. But we're thinking of the past. Now, when I remember the grapes and the taste of the grapes in my neighbor's backyard, I'm thinking of the past. Am I thinking of the now in the past? You say, well, yes, you're thinking of the now in the past. Not really. I'm thinking, actually, of the past. I'm thinking of a little 12-year-old boy picking grapes in my neighbor's grape vineyard in her backyard in the middle of the city and enjoying these grapes that are not quite succulent. They're good, but they're a little tart. They're not quite succulent. They're not like the big grapes, the full grapes that are just full of sweetness and full of goodness. And I'm going back in that. And that is an aging activity. Anytime we allow ourselves to think in yesterday, that's an aging activity. Oh, I make it sound like it's okay. I make it sound like it's perfectly okay. I talk about my brother when he was a little boy. I talk about my family, my life, years ago. I talk about all these things. And as I talk about these things, what am I doing? I am aging you. I can't age me because I'm ageless. I look like I'm aging, but I'm not. Now, I'm ageless, and you are aging every time you play the game with me of yesterday. Every time you play the game with me of past, every time you play the game with me of anything that refers to a time that is no longer here. And is there any time other than now in actuality? No. It's the only time that there is now. And because that's the only time that there is, then that's the only time that we pay any attention to. However, we are paying attention to a time that is not here. And paying attention to a time that is not here is aging us. I want to say that very often because that is what it's all about. You are living in confusion. They've had movies, and in some movies, it shows a person in a photograph, and not in a real person. And then they have the person crumbling up on the screen. The person's physical appearance is just crumbling away like dust on the screen. And you look at that and you think to yourself, my goodness, how could that happen? How could a person crumble away like dust? What happens to a dead body? It crumbles away like dust, as the Bible says, from dust to dust. From dust you are created, and from dust to dust you do return. Now, it's a symbol, but it's a very adequate symbol, because dust is corruption. Dust is confusion. Now, it doesn't say matter, and we say here chaos is differentiated, is defined as undifferentiated matter. Reality is differentiated matter. Chaos is defined as undifferentiated matter, matter that is not differentiated. Is differentiated matter. What does differentiated matter mean? Matter that has purpose. Oh, it isn't?
No.
What is reality?
It's either undifferentiated matter.
Matter is supposed to be undifferentiated matter.
No, matter
not. All right.
Reality. Okay.
Sylvia, you think you're so smart. What is chaos?
Reality. Order.
What is chaos?
Undifferentiated matter.
Good. What is chaos? What is chaos? What is chaos? You're saying differentiated.
Undifferentiated.
Ingeborg, what is chaos?
Undifferentiated matter.
And what is undifferentiated matter?
It is equally, equally, equal in everything.
It's the allness, right? The undefined allness. Now, Sylvia, don't go changing your mind in the middle of the stream now. What is chaos?
Order.
Sylvia says, as the last statement, chaos is the ultimate of order. Why is chaos the ultimate of order?
Because it's undefined.
Because it cannot be understood. It cannot be defined as one thing or another. It cannot be delineated as a house, a car, a person, or whatever. It is the allness. Now, you would think that that would be confusion. Well, no. Confusion is defined matter. Chaos is undifferentiated matter, undefined matter. And that's an interesting concept for us to become aware of, to start thinking that chaos is pure order. Chaos is supposed to be the most perfect order that we could ever have. Now, is that true?
Yeah.
And we have not thought that in the past, have we? What have we thought in the past? We thought that chaos was pure confusion.
Yeah.
We thought that chaos was something totally improper, undesirable, and unrealistic, that it was just, it was just a mess. And it was. In our little thinking. But as we become more and more defined in our thinking, we find that chaos is really undifferentiated matter. It is matter without form. And it is matter without purpose. It is matter without direction. It is matter, it is such as the atoms. I'm sorry? And it's matter and it's no matter. It's both. And we look into the cosmos, and what do we see? We see matter and no matter. What makes up the cosmos in large measure? Nothing. The matter in the cosmos is but a tiny, tiny portion. A report given by Scientific American magazine at one point, and don't ask me what date it was, at one point, they said that if all the matter in the universe were compressed to its actual just matter, without no matter with it, it would be as tiny as a little, a marble. Tiny as a little marble. You know what a little marble is? Tiny as a little marble. The entire universe matter would be as tiny as a little marble, because around all matter is infinite space. One little atom has such an infinite amount of matter in it, it's almost unbelievable. It is space. What is the outside of the atom? You don't know?
Fluff.
What?
Fluff.
Fluff, but what name does it have?
Quark. Quark.
No, what name does it have?
Fluff.
Atom is made up of neutron, proton, electron. The electron is the fluff. The electron is the fluff, and it's nothing. The neutron and the proton, where do we have the substance? What's that little thing that's bouncing around, so to speak, inside of the atom, which is its only substance? That's the neutron. And it's floating around inside the proton, right? Interesting. Think about this. The actual substance within an atom is so finite, so tiny, that it can hardly be described. An atom itself is very small. But everything is made up of atoms. And in between everything that is a lot of space. Your body is made up of such a tiny little bit of matter, if you want to say, tiny little bit of substance. Tiny little bit of substance. If you were to take your body and evaporate the water, which is over 90%, 98% almost of your body, and then take that little bit of substance that left, your body could be in a, I don't know what you would say, but it'd be in, it is also indescribable. It is so tiny, it is indescribable. So when you start thinking of the matter of the universe, and that all brought together, however, this is an added item that the scientists tell us, that the little marble would be so heavy, it would be impossible to determine its weight. It would be billions and billions and billions of tons in weight. Can you imagine that? A marble being billions of tons. You see, we think substance makes up weight. Perhaps substance is a word that does make up weight, but the substance makes up the weight, but the essence of the substance is nothing. The essence of the substance is nothing. It's like taking air. First you weigh the bell jar, you find out what it weighs, and then you have it filled with air. And then you suck the air out of the bell jar so it's a vacuum. And you weigh the bell jar with the air in it, and then you weigh the bell jar with the vacuum in it. Now, what does the air really weigh? It's a small amount, but it does have a specific weight. Now, there have been scientists who have enjoyed this game. They thought, surely the soul of man has weight. The soul of man has substance and weight, and that when a man dies and the soul leaves the body, the man's weight should instantly change. And so they take a man and they weigh him as he is still alive, you know, just before death, and then they weigh him after he has died. And they figure out what the difference is there, and they tell you that's the weight of the soul. Well, now, I find that charming, totally irrelevant, but an interesting idea. You see, my universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. Why do I say the confusion of chaos? You should have the answer now. My universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. It is only in the confusion that we see appearances. It's only in confusion that we see the illusions, that we see the appearances of things, even though they're not there. They're all just figments of our imagination. Now, let's hold on to that thought for a minute. The confusion, as we say here, of chaos. Well, now, what is chaos? It is the order of the universe, the undifferentiated matter of the universe. And then, what is the confusion?
The illusion.
Confusion is the illusion. And what is the illusion?
The thought.
It has no substance. It has no reality. So, when you think that you're teleporting, levitating, and doing those things, you are moving no substance around. You are moving substancelessness around. And as you move substancelessness around, you are not doing anything. Because it does not exist. It is an illusion. So, if you want to teleport yourself someplace and see yourself there or see yourself here or do any of these things, it's perfectly okay. It's perfectly within the realm of the confusion in which we live. And it is just as, if you want to call it real, just as touchable as anything can be. Can you touch substance? Yes, you can. Now, is substance the reality of man?
No.
No. Now, how can you touch something that is not the reality? Because you create yourself with a sensitivity of touch. Now, what, we're getting into some interesting topics here. What is the sensitivity of touch? The sensitivity of touch is the creation of the illusion of your mind that you are touching something. You say, well, I have my instruments that tell me that it is there. My instruments that say, here is weight, and here is non-weight. Here is a cup, and it's full of fluid. Tastes good too. And this cup that's full of fluid, as I drink it, the fluid passes from the cup into my mouth. Now, the cup gets lighter and I get heavier as I drink the fluid. Now, is that true?
No.
No, it isn't. It is not true at all, because this is the appearance. This is the game we play. And in the game we play, we make some pretty impressive games, pretty impressive rules by which the game is run. And these impressive rules by which the game is run are pure illusion. And that does not mean they're not as valid as any other thing. The illusion of the game, the rules of the game, the illusions, and the game itself is an illusion, and you as the player of the game as an illusion. These are all illusions. Now, if I said to you, all right, I'm going to walk through each one of you. I'm going to walk past each one of you, through each one of you, and I am going to just, you know, as though you're not even there, or as though I'm not even there. I'm going to walk right through you. Remember how Richard Bach in Illusions spoke about the wall, and how Donald Simoda spoke about it. And Richard said, why can't I walk through a wall? And Donald Simoda said, you cannot walk through a wall. You merge as the wall, and when you come out the other side, you are remerged as yourself, but in the wall, you are one as the wall. You are one as whatever substance you pass through. You are one as whatever substance you merge with while you are merging with that substance. And there are many scientific treaties written about this same thing, how because something moves so quickly through time and space, that should there be an altered time, that they would be locked into the material that they were passing through at the time they were going through time and space. This is one of the big problems that Star Trek has with Beam Me Up, Scotty. Star Trek, in having this concept, scientists looking at it, they see that you can get stuck in time. You can get stuck in space because you are not thinking of yourself in the proper way. Now, Ellen, what do you have to think of yourself when you are in time travel, or when you are in space travel, or when you are in anything?
I don't think anything at all.
No.
You have to think yourself being there.
Being there. You think yourself being there. If you don't think yourself being there, you can be stuck in the process. And this sounds kind of silly.
But being where?
That's it. Where?
But how can I see myself being there if there's nothing to be there?
We are talking about you are teleporting yourself.
Okay.
You are moving your body from one place to another.
Okay.
And in the space through which you move your body, you may stop for a visit inside of a planet. Now, have I ever taken you to the planet of unconditional love and other planets? Have we ever gone into the sun or the moon? And were we ever disturbed in the sun or the moon or the planets? Why were we not disturbed?
Because we were one, is it?
Why were we able to be in the tip of the pyramid? And what were we doing in the tip of the pyramid?
Because we were unlimited.
We were there in consciousness.
Yeah.
Now, in the center of the pyramid, we were there in fact. But at the tip, it was a self-discipline program. We were there in consciousness. Now, did you actually have a change in your awareness as you were in the tip of the pyramid? Yes. Could you relate to it? Yes. Could you get stuck there? Yes. You could get stuck there if you thought of yourself as a physical body. If you thought of yourself as a mental body, you were perfectly secure in that experience. The physical body came later, but the mental body came first, as it always does. Now, you say, man, this is a wild agelessness type of a seminar. Yes, it is. Anytime we think in the past, or we think in the future, we think problems. We think age. We think limitation. We think all of the problems that will not allow us to be who we really are. Now, Gertrude, who are you? Are you a woman? Are you a mother? Are you a this, that, or the other thing? Or are you a divine being having the time of your life, living in this world, doing whatever you choose to do? You shake your head yes, meaning that you're a divine being.
Divine being.
You're a divine being. Okay, now, what do you think it means to be a divine being? What does it mean a divine being relative to a physical or a relative being.
I am one as all.
You are one with all.
Yes.
All right, now, can you, as a divine being, pretend that you are a mother, that you are a grandmother, that you are doing these things?
Yes.
And can you, with the same instantaneousness, pretend that you are not?
Yeah.
Because that's true. You, in one instant, can pretend that you are not and really not be. Now, this is something we've talked about before. Can you, in one instant, pretend that you are not? Yes. Can you, in one instant, be in the consciousness that never was? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? But when you have a spiritual healing, it was as though you never had the problem for which you were healed. And you don't know that you had a spiritual healing, because if you know you have a spiritual healing, you were healed for your cancer, and then you got your cancer again. But the cancer never existed in your body. It never existed in your life. It never existed in your experience. You never were in the hospital for treatment, even though before you were, but now you have the spiritual healing. It never was there. What was only there for you, who you are now? Clear, free. Now, you can't say clear, because that means you're clear of something. But you are this pure being that you are right now. Okay?
Yes.
You see, when we have this awareness of spiritual healing, when we have this awareness of the clarity of our being, then we can have an awareness of what this chaos and what this confusion mean. Confusion means you hang on to the past of the problem that you once had, and therefore reiterate that problem in your life again, which is a silly thing to do. But we do it. We do it. It's like the people who were blind and Jesus healed them, and then he's told them, tell no one, and they went around telling, I was blind before and now I can see, and plop, they're blind again. This happens to you and me and everybody all the time, because we cannot let go of the past. We cannot let go of our aches and pains. We cannot let go of the feeling of insecurity. We cannot let go of our children being wise or stupid. We cannot let go of our husband or wife being loving or not loving. We cannot let go of the past. Now, what do I say about faith? Faith doesn't want to let go of the past, and she can't say, I love you. So she can't say, I love you to anything in life. If she can't say it to me, she cannot say it to anything in life. I say it. Now, what would be the greatest blessing I could give to faith? To see her blind, deaf, and dumb to the past. There is no past for her. She lives only in the present. What would happen if faith were to live only in the present? Anybody?
She'd
be fantastic. She'd be the happiest person alive. She wouldn't be done, because there's nothing to be done for.
That's right.
She would be the divine being that she is in its ultimate, as we say here, the chaos is the ultimate of order. She would be the divine being of perfect order. You see, when we can let go of the past and the future is just as much of a boogeyman as the past. When we can let go of the past and the future and live in the present or the now, then we are ideally spiritually healed. We are ideally spiritually revealed. Isn't that interesting? Spiritually healed and spiritually revealed. We are living in that ideal consciousness. Now, that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Now, who has to let go of this? Do I let go of it? I use everything as an illustration because I'm a teacher and I'm a sharer with you. And if you say, well, Herb, why are you talking about it? Well, why are you listening to him? You know? Yeah, that's what it's all about. Why are you listening to him? Why are you judging me as saying that I'm saying things? You shouldn't be hearing it. And you hear it because it's very much in your consciousness. Now, Lydia, did you ever have a little boy in your household? Yes. Did you ever call to that little boy and say, Robert, time to come in now. Robert, come on in for supper now. Come on in, get washed up. And did he not hear you? Did he not hear you because he was doing other things and perhaps sincerely didn't hear you, even though he was right next to you? No. And he said, Robert, come in. Robert, do this. Robert, come. When he was good and ready to hear you, then he heard you. Robert, if you don't hear me, I'm coming out there with a stick and I'm going to show you what it sounds like. And Robert, I'm right in, Mom, I'm coming. You know, a little motivation there. Not that you have to hit him or anything, but you just make the threat. Okay, now, how could Robert not hear you when he was right under your nose and you were shouting at him, come on in now? You didn't want him to come in for punishment. You didn't want him to come in for anything except it was time for dinner. And he didn't hear. You never had that problem, did you, Gertrude? Your children always instantly responded to you when you called to them. My mother used to say, I'm going to get one of the girls. The girls are twins. One is Marie and one is May. And she'd say, Mary, come in here. As though one of them always came. And it was usually Marie. But you see, she got one of the kids. And that was what she wanted, was one of the kids to help her do something. So, you see, how is it that we don't even hear these things? We don't even know. And you say, well, we do hear it, but we don't pay attention to them. Ah, we do hear it, but we don't pay attention to them. Now, can you hear me talk about the past and not pay any attention to it? Can you hear me talk about the future and not pay any attention to it? Do you know who I see when I look at Ingeborg over here? Anyone tell me?
A divine being
fulfilled. Now, I pick on her, and I pick on her, and I pick on her until she herself recognizes she is a divine fulfilled being and not anything other than that. When she can recognize she's a divine fulfilled being, she'll be it for herself. I see it done now. I see it done now. But I just love to pick on her. And I say, Sylvia, you're a man. Sylvia, you're a man. Sylvia, you're a man. You have the attitude of a man. You have the thoughts of a man. You have the this. And Sylvia says, you should know what I am. I am a gorgeous, glorious, fabulous, fulfilled woman. Is that right?
Yes.
Enthusiastic too, isn't she? But you see, yes.
Divine woman. A divine?
Aha. She's got to have her own language, doesn't she? I'm a divine woman. Now, why didn't she get angry at me for telling her that she's a man? Why didn't she get angry at me for telling her that she has male characteristics about her, that she's a mannish type of person? Why didn't she? Because it's not how she sees herself. She is untouched by anything which she does not see herself as. You want to learn that, to be untouched by anything other than who you are. Now, Gertrude, who are you?
I am God.
All right. Anybody got a problem there?
More to say.
Anybody got a problem there?
No.
Gertrude, you're the devil. You are always looking for trouble. You are always making things hard for everybody. Gertrude, you're a rotten egg. And Gertrude laughs and she giggles and she says, what is this you're talking about? I don't know a thing like that. I don't know a person like that. I don't know a condition like that. You follow me? You do not allow that into your consciousness. You do not allow that into your world. You do not allow that into your awareness. You don't care. You don't care. You are a divine being. You are God. And Gertrude Gertrude. You know what God spelled backwards is, don't you? Yeah. And that's pretty nice, isn't it? God spelled backwards is dog. And my dog is pretty wonderful, I tell you. And my dog has no problem whatsoever. My dog makes a problem for himself or does something he shouldn't do, and I come to spank him or remind him that's not right, and by the time I get to him, he's forgotten what he did and not thinking a thing about it. Now, how can you punish him or how can you remind him that he shouldn't do that when he's no longer thinking about it? He's no longer in that realm of thought. And it's me that's in that realm of thought, and I got to get out of it as quickly as he does. Now, so being God and being a dog are some pretty similar things and some pretty nice things. And I think we can all benefit from that very much. Now, let's look at these things here again. My universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. The confusion of chaos. Is chaos confusion?
No.
Why did I say it here?
It's the confusion of chaos.
The confusion. Chaos is pure, perfect, and magnificent. And we will not let go of the past. And because we don't let go of the past, what is no longer ours, we're in confusion. The chaos, the divine order, the perfect order, the supreme, ultimate order, is there, but we draw up into our world the confusion. And the confusion is trying to say who we are. Gertrude wants a divine healing. And I say, Gertrude, it is done. She said, well, when is it going to happen? Well, when's what going to happen? Well, when is my I don't know. she doesn't even remember she had a broken leg because her new self, her spiritual healing, doesn't even leave room to remember it, doesn't leave room to have it happen, to have it heal. It's an instantaneous thing. Does Lydia have instantaneous healings?
Yes.
All the time. And Lydia, do you have divine healings?
Yes.
You have spiritual healing?
Yes.
And are you so blind, so stupid, so unaware that you haven't figured out what they were? And you never will? And isn't that wonderful? Now, did you know that at one time you had this, that, and the other thing, and now you don't? Did you know that?
No.
You don't know that. Because you had a divine healing. You had a spiritual healing. And in your spiritual healing, all memory, all remembrance of the past is gone. You see, when you can start acting in the present, for instance, if you go home and you see your dearly beloved Vernie, you go home and you see him and you say, sweet, do you know that you're just the greatest being on the face of the earth? He says, I'm glad you found that out. And then you say, he always leaves his pants on the floor in front of the bedroom door. And he always leaves his clothes hither and yon. And so you are always saying, Vernie, put your stuff away. Put your things away. Put your stuff away. And now you walk by these objects and you don't even see them. You are spiritually healed of the need to correct somebody else. You're spiritually healed of any desire to help somebody else achieve something. Now, as for yourself, you like order. You know, you like chaos in your world. Supreme order. So, when you walk through your house, what do you see?
Order.
Everything is in order. Everything is put away. Everything is ironed. Everything is washed. Everything is always clean. No matter what clothes you put on, no matter what garden you work in, no matter what dirt you pour over yourself, when you take your clothes off, they are clean and ready to be put in the cupboard right where they are, clean as a whistle. You like that? But that's true. You see, when you live in the present so completely, there is no past. See, what you did 2 seconds before is of no reality, because now you're living in your spiritually healed consciousness in only the present. Whatever you do in the past, you know, makes no difference. You can go out and you can work in a slaughterhouse and be filled with blood and guts and all that sort of stuff. And when you walk out of that place, you just say, and you're spiritually healed, you're cleansed, your clothes are just as beautiful as you put them on first thing in the morning, you know, and you walk out of there and you're singing. Your energy is at peak because you didn't do a lick of work, even though you worked exceedingly hard, because it has no bearing on it. The past is past. Can you understand that? It's not too easy to realize this in the reality, that is in our physical everyday life, but it is true. And the more we practice this, the more we practice this, the more wonderment we have in our life. The more magical it is in our life. You know? Now, when you're ready for something like that, wow, what happens to you is just unbelievable. It is just unbelievable. What happens to you is you are living in the now. You are living without a past. You have amnesia. Wouldn't that be something? With no past, and yet you always have all that in you now. How could you do that? How could you live without a past? How could you live without a future? No goals, no aspirations, no success from the past or failure. You're living just in the present. Wouldn't it sort of be a boring life, wouldn't it? You'd walk into your house, everything is in divine order. You'd go to your kitchen, if you choose, the meal is already prepared for you. Or you snap your finger and be there. Or maybe you like to gussy around in the kitchen a little bit and work with the lettuce and the celery and the various things that you're preparing. But where do they come from? Your refrigerator always has fresh things in it. Your refrigerator always has only fresh things in it. How about that? Your refrigerator only has... You go to your refrigerator and you're going to get some lettuce, some cabbage, some celery, lamb. You're going to get whatever. And lo and behold, there it is. You see what I mean? It is there for you at the moment you go there. Now, if you want to pass that step and have it already be prepared in a beautiful way and on the table waiting for you when you come in, as though you had a maid or a butler or something, that's okay too. And if you would like to have it already in your stomach, digested and eaten and giving you energy, that's okay too. If you would like to have it pass through your body and you have no longer need to evacuate it, that's okay too. If you'd like to have life lived for you ahead of time, and you don't even have to live it, that's okay too. But then it really would get interestingly boring, you know. Yeah. But hey, this is the ultimate. When you read the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East, and Baird Spaulding was talking to Emil, and Emil says, okay, are you hungry? And Baird says, yes. Well, let's walk across the river. Our friends over there have a nice meal going for it. He said, just great. I'd rather not walk across the river, Baird said. Well, come on now. I mean, you're with me. No, I'd rather stay here. All right, well, are you hungry? Yeah. What would you like? Would you like some flour to bake some bread? Would you like a piece of bread already baked? Would you like some bread and some sandwich material? Or would you like the bread and sandwich material already put together in a beautiful way for you and presented to you to eat? Would you like to have already eaten the sandwich? Would you like to have already digested it? Would you like to, where would you like to be? You see, Can you imagine being with a master who would ask you a question like that? Wouldn't that be something? I just asked you a question like that, didn't I? Can you imagine being with someone who asked you a question like that? That would boggle your mind. That boggled your mind. It boggled Baird's mind. And he didn't know how to respond. He didn't know how to respond because he knew that Emil knew what he was talking about. He knew that Emil was speaking from the reality of his being. And that's pretty wonderful. Now, what reality of your being are you speaking from? What area of your life are you speaking from? We say here, my universe is an expression of the confusion of chaos. Chaos is undifferentiated, is defined as undifferentiated matter. The illusion of confusion is ever present as long as we live with a past and a future. Confusion is matter in disarray. And that's what we say. Okay? Chaos is the ultimate of order. Chance is supreme. Chaos is the ultimate of order. Now, what does the word chance mean here, and why was that stuck in on the tail end here? Chance is supreme. Do you have a chance to understand and experience chaos as the ultimate of order? Yes, you do. You have that chance. However, you must make the decision of whether you want to take it. Do you want to take that chance? And do you want to make yourself aware of the fact that there is indeed no past, that that is just something we conjure up because it's a game we play, and that there is no future, that again we conjure up as a game we play? What game do you want to play? Do you want to play a game in which this limitation is? Or do you want to play a game in which you are the absolute master living in the now, doing everything in your perfect, magnificent way? Sounds great, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's our reality, not only our possibility, that's our reality, and that is who we are. Are you ready to do that? Now, if you're ready to do that, this is not a threat, but if you're ready to do that, you will not remember your family. You will not remember your past. You will only know the present. Now, is Werner in the present? Duck, duck, duck. Is Werner in the present?
Yes.
Of course he is. Does Werner have a past?
No.
Not if you're in your present. Does he have a future? No. Is he absolutely content with you and your world together?
Yes.
All right. Does you and your world together have to have a past and a future?
No.
Okay. Can you understand that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you see? Those aren't just words. And I'm not just sharing blasé words with you that have no significance and depth to them. These words are significant words. And these words are not troublesome words, but they're fun words. They're words of our reality. And never again will we have to experience anything that might cause us to feel insecure. You see, Dorothea, when you live in that consciousness, you only know the now. And you are only as old as you think you are. And you are only as beautiful as you think you are. You're only as desirable as you think you are. You understand that too, Ingeborg?
Yes.
And you are so filled with light and love and power and enthusiasm. Wow! All in the present. And Sylvia, she's just a bubble of joy, a bubble of peace, a bubble of energy, a bubble of happiness, because she only knows herself in the now. Makes sense to you?
Yes.
And Gertrude? Where are you on this ladder of love? Everything is only the now. Gertrude said something to me the other day which was quite significant. Gertrude said, "Do you know Herb? Jerome and I look a great deal alike." And I thought to myself, Gertrude, did you just wake up? Did you just wake up? Gertrude, everybody in your world looks just like you. But you take it out on Jerome, because Jerome, you have created as such a beautiful expression of the unconditional love that you are. Yeah. It's kind of nice, isn't it? And little by little, you're creating Sabrina that way. And one day, you may create your sons and your daughter that way. But you won't create them that way for a while, because you still tie them up with the past. The past for Sabrina and for Jerome is not so heavy. But for your other kids, all of the adventures that they had gone through and all of the magic and wonderment that they experienced is very much present in your mind. Now, clean house. Be like Lydia. Her husband leaves his clothes all over the house and runs around naked all the time. And what does Lydia do? She just sees the house in perfect order. She doesn't see her husband dressed. She just sees the house in perfect order and thinks that's the way it's fine. Now, you too. You see your house, your mental house, in perfect order. And all that is past about your children is past. All that is a dream of the future, even their dreams, is in the now, right now, complete, fulfilled. And Ellen, what about you? Can you live without a past?
Yes.
And without a future?
Yes.
Yeah, you say that so easy. Okay, so we're going to take your telephone away, take your computer away, and take all of the things away that remind you of the past or the future. Yeah, yeah. So that's what happens to the pictures. That's what happens to all those things. But hey, you go at the speed you're ready to go. You go at the conclusion you're ready to go. And you just have fun for yourself. I'm 2 minutes over my time, but I think it was all worthwhile. You are fantastic, and I love you. And I think that if you can do what you say you're going to do, it's going to be an adventure of joy for you. When we come back, we'll have Lecture 12, My Holographic Universe Vibrates with the Images of My Thoughts.
Wow.
And that will be fun. So, see, we're connected over here. So, have fun, enjoy yourself, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you.